Tonight I'm going to start with a story. I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I don't think I went into a lot of detail. I just used it as an illustration, but the story of a group of blind men, and they had never seen an elephant, and their teacher said, look, I'm going to take you to one of these hands-on zoos, these zoos where you can go to and touch the animals, and I'm going to have you feel the elephant, and as you feel it, I want you to describe it. And so he spread the men out around the elephant, and one reached up and grabbed the tail and felt the tail and said, well, I'll tell you what an elephant's like. It's round, it's long, it's like a rope. And the second guy, who was standing by the ear, you know, felt that big ear and said, well, no, I don't think you're right. The elephant's like a big flat sheet that blows in the wind. The third one had grabbed hold of the trunk and said, no, you're both wrong. An elephant is round, but it's not like a rope. It's round like the limb of, it's big. It's like the limb of a tree. And the fourth one said, no, all three of you guys are wrong, because he had hold of the leg. And he said, it's round, but it's giant. It's not like the limb of the tree. It's like the trunk of a big, mighty oak tree. And the fifth one had grabbed hold of the tusk and said, no, all four of you guys are wrong. An elephant is round, but it's smooth, and it's short, and it's got a polished finish on it. And the sixth one, who was up feeling the side of the elephant, said, I don't know, you guys are all wrong. An elephant is like a big, mighty boulder, a big, mighty rock. Now, let me ask you the question of those six men, which one were right? They were all right. But all their descriptions were incomplete. You had to put them all together to get a complete picture of an elephant. Now, the same is true when we consider Jesus. And I thought about going, you know, all 66 books of the Bible tell us something different about Christ. But tonight, just for sake of time, I'll just use the Gospels. If all you read was the Gospel of Matthew, you would come away saying Jesus is king. If all you read was the Gospel of Mark, you would come away and saying, well, he's a servant. If you read the book of Luke, you would come away saying, no, he's the Son of Man. If you read the Gospel of John, you come away saying, no, he's the Son of God. Now, which one's right? Well, they're all right, but they're all incomplete. You got to read all four of the Gospels. You got to read the whole 66 books of the Bible to get a complete picture of Jesus. And then we say, like Paul, now I look through a glass darkly or dimly. But then I'm going to be able to see him face to face, and I'll know him a whole lot better when I can see him face to face than I do now. And so that's true about Jesus. You got to look at him from different perspectives. Tonight, I want to spend some time, and I want to talk to you about how that same thing is true of what we might call the Great Commission. His commission to his disciples, his commission to us. You see, five different times in the Bible, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's giving them what we have called the Great Commission. He's saying, look, I want you to go into the world, and I want you to tell people about me. And each time Jesus does that, and again, there's one in each of the Gospels, and there's one in the first chapter of Acts. Each time Jesus does that, he uses a little bit different words. He comes at it from a different perspective. I believe that it was probably five different times, although the first one and the second one I'm going to talk about tonight may have been at the same time, but it could have been five different times. And my point is tonight, you got to look at all five of them in order to get the complete picture. Not that we should go. I mean, you can take any one of them. You could take the one in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, or the one in Luke chapter 24, or the one in Mark chapter 16, or the one in John chapter 20, or even the one in Acts chapter 1. And you can't walk away from any one of those without knowing for sure that he wants us to go. You can't walk away from any one of those without knowing for sure that that's his marching orders to us. That's his instructions, not only to those men that stood around him, those men and women in some cases that stood around him and heard that instruction, but to every single one of us. That's our purpose. That's why we're here. That's our order, so to speak, from our commander in chief, is to go and tell others about him. But the way that we should go, I think you can read one and get one perspective, but if you go and read the second one, you get another perspective, and I don't think you can get the complete story of how we're to go until you look at all five of them. And so tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to go and look briefly at all five passages of Scripture where he gives us our commission, and just tell you something that I think Jesus was trying to tell them and us about how we should go. And when you put them all together, it makes a pretty wonderful set of instructions for how we're to go. So I've entitled my message tonight, Go Ye As A, Go Ye As A, and then I'm going to fill in the blank after that five different ways. So here we go. Number one, go ye as a son serving a father. Take your Bible. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're going to look down in verse 19. John chapter 20, verse 19. Here's what the Bible says, John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now here's a picture. It was Resurrection Day, the first day of the week, that Sunday that Jesus came out of the grave. It was evening, early evening, I think. They were behind locked doors. They were afraid. They were afraid the Jews and the Romans maybe were going to come and get them. They still, you know, they were passing around the story that his disciples had come and stolen his body. I mean, they paid the guards to say that. And I'm sure the disciples heard the story. And so they were afraid. Maybe they're going to come looking for him. Maybe they're going to try to put them in jail again. And so behind locked doors, early evening, this day of Resurrection Day, Jesus comes and he stands in the midst of them. He says, hey, peace be still. Don't worry, guys. Don't be afraid. He showed them his hands and his side, the wounds that were in his hands where they drove the nails through his hands, the wound that was in his side where the soldier pierced him with the spear. They were glad when they saw him. They were glad. They say, oh, this is our master. This is our Lord. This is Jesus. This is the one that we've spent the last 3.5 years with. I mean, we can see the... And I've often wondered, you know, the Bible says when he hung on the cross, he was... And I know some of you that have seen the Passion have described this. In the Bible, it says he was hardly recognizable as a human being when he hung on the cross. And I just wonder what he looked like this resurrection night when he came and stood in the midst of the disciples. Had God cleared up some of those scars? Had God made him look more like a human being? I don't know. All I know is that he showed them the wounds in his hands and the wound in his side. They recognized him as their master. They were glad to see him. He said, peace unto you. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. And then he said this, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And again, this was a commission not to those men that were in that room behind locked doors. It's a commission that Jesus has given to every single one of us. And it was a commission that started in heaven. It was a commission that started in the heart of God. I mean, this was before the world was created, before man was created, before the first sin was committed. God the Father said to God the Son, we're going to have a lost world. And they're going to go to hell unless we figure out a way to save them. Here's the plan. I want you to go and take the form of a man. I want you to tell them how much we love them. And then I want you to go to the cross as has been represented by the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. I want you to go to the cross, and I want you to die in their place, paying for their sins. And when Jesus says, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you, what he was saying is, I am a son obedient to my Father. Many, many times when Jesus was on earth, he says, I came not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And on three or four different occasions, I can't remember exactly, I think it was three, God spoke from heaven in an audible voice and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so when Jesus gives us that commission, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you, let's go ye as a son, striving to please his Father, with a desire to please his Father, with the obedience that we owe our Heavenly Father. Let's go knowing that as we go, yes, it's a command. Yes, it's an instruction. Yes, it's something that we have no choice about. But let's not go just out of duty. Let's not go just because we have to. Let's go because it's a way that we can please our Heavenly Father. Adam's home, and whenever he comes home, we try to go down and see my parents. And so yesterday afternoon, we drove down to Taylor to visit with them. And my dad always saves chores that he could do, but my mom says he's getting a little lazy, and so he doesn't do. He saves them for when we come. And so you weren't saying amen, were you, Sam? Okay. You were just coughing. Just want to explain that, Clint. He was just coughing. But he always saves chores that he could do, but he gets us involved. And yesterday he had some things. I'm glad Adam was there because he had some things on the computer he didn't understand, and Adam helped him with that. And then they have a swing that they put on their front porch in the spring and the summer and the fall that my mom swings in. He says, it's time to get the swing down. I don't know if you guys will be here between now when it gets warm. And so we climbed up in the attic and got the swing down and hung it up. And I would do anything to please my dad. I would do anything. And I thought about it. How much more should we want to please our Heavenly Father? How much more should we have a desire? If I could do something for God, after all he's done for me, how much more should I want to please him? And so when Jesus says, as my Father hath sent me, so send I you, it's not just a command, it's not just a commission. It's a way that we can be obedient, and it's a way that we can please the God that sent his only begotten Son to die in our place. So go ye as a son serving his Father. Number two, go ye as a witness telling what he knows. Now turn over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and look at verse 46. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Here's what the Bible says. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Now let me just remind you, in Luke chapter 24 is the story of the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking and talking. They looked a little sad. Jesus came up to them and he said, "What's the matter with you guys? I've seen you, and why are you so sad?" And they said, "Well, you must be a stranger in Jerusalem. You haven't heard what's going on." And he said, "What about Jesus of Nazareth? 3 days ago he was crucified, and he talked about coming back to life. And some of the ladies that are part of our group went to the grave, and the grave was empty." And all the city is in an uproar about what's going on. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked him a little bit, and he went back to Moses and started with Moses and explained all the prophecies. And these two disciples, as they were telling about it later, they said, boy, he made there was just a burning in our heart as Jesus opened up the Bible and explained all the prophecies. They got to where they were going, and they invited Jesus in to eat with them. And you know the story, as he broke the bread, they recognized him. And he disappeared. Now, it was already late in the evening. And these two disciples got up and they went back to Jerusalem. They went back to the other disciples. Now, it could have been the same meeting that we just talked about. Or it could have been a second time that same day that Jesus appeared to his disciples. It was probably close to midnight. A second time, in that same resurrection day, that he appeared to his disciples. And he said to them, notice what he said. He said, it behooved Christ to suffer. You saw me suffer. You saw him whip me. You saw him hang me on a cross. You saw him lay me in a grave. You were there for those 3 days and three nights that I laid in that grave. Now you've seen me resurrected. Now you've seen me defeat death. Now you've seen me come back to life. Now you understand what I was talking about when I said, and even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Now you understand that repentance and remission of sins should be preached about me. I'm the key. I'm the answer. I'm the one that can remit and forgive sins. And then he says, and ye are witnesses of these things. As we go into all the world to tell people about Jesus, we not only go as a son striving to please his father, but we go as a witness. Notice that verse. It doesn't say, and ye shall be witnesses of these things. Jesus said in a more positive way, ye are witnesses of these things. You've seen them. You don't have to describe what somebody else told you about. You don't have to describe what you heard secondhand. You don't have to describe about what you read in a book. You get to describe what you experienced and saw firsthand. You will be witnesses. You are witnesses of these things. And when Jesus sends us out and we go today, we need to go the same way. We need to go and be a witness of what's happened to us. We need to go and say, hey, I'm not going to tell you what somebody else says. I'm not going to tell you what I read in a book. I'm going to tell you what happened in my life. I was a sinner headed for hell. I was the chiefest of sinners, I say, with Paul. I deserve to die. I deserve to suffer and pay the price of my sin. But Jesus took my place. I trusted him, and he saved me, and I'm on my way to heaven. That's what the world needs today. They don't need somebody that just goes out there keeping an order. They don't need somebody to go out there just because it's their duty. They need somebody that's going out there to try to please their heavenly Father in heaven and have a witness about what happened in their life. We sing that song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. That's what the world needs to see, the change that Jesus has made. And so as we go, let's go as a son trying to please his father. Let's go as a witness. Number three, go as a co-worker. Look at Matthew chapter 28. This has probably been called the Great Commission more than any of the others. Matthew 28, we'll start in verse 18 and go down through verse 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I think this particular time was at the, you know, he was on earth 40 days after he was resurrected before he ascended into heaven. I sort of think this was at the end of the 40 days. I don't know if just the 12 disciples were there. This might have been the time where he was seen of those 500 people that we read over about in 1 Corinthians. But he said, I want you to go, and I want you to teach, I want you to baptize, and I want you to teach again. I want you to teach them about me and tell them who I am and what I did, lead them to me, then baptize them. Then I want you to teach them to go and tell somebody else. And he says this, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. What Jesus was saying is, I'm not going to send you alone. I'm not going to ask you to go by yourself. I'm going to go with you. Now it's going to be in the form of the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to go with you. And I will lead you to people that I want you to talk to. I will tell you what to say. I will give you the exact words and put them in your mouth that I want you to say. And so what he's saying is, you're not by yourself. We'll do this together. We're partners. We're co-workers in this commission. Now again, I'm trying to paint you a picture. You got to look at it from all five perspectives. When he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When he says here in Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Here's what he was saying. And here's how we should go. As a son trying to please his father. As a witness of what we've experienced. As a co-worker with the Holy Spirit. Because we don't go by ourselves. And then number four, turn to Mark chapter 16. Number four, as one that's been empowered by God. Mark chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 15 and read down through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 16, beginning in verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, I don't know about you. I read these verses, and I can't help but conclude that when Jesus says to go here in Mark chapter 16, and again, I believe that this was the very last day. I believe that this was the day he ascended. And when we get over into the book of Acts, I think it's the same day, might have been a different time. But this was the day that he ascended. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But as you go, again, like he said in the book of Matthew, you don't go alone. We're partners. We're co-workers. And not only is the Holy Spirit going to go with you, not only is the Holy Spirit going to guide you, not only is the Holy Spirit going to tell you what to say, the Holy Spirit will give you power to do things that you can't do by yourself. You're going to cast out devils. You don't try to do that unless the Holy Spirit's with you. Remember that? I just thought, remember that story over in the book of Acts where these guys got together and said, well, Paul's casting out devils, we can too. And they got in there, seven of them I think it was, they got in there trying to cast the devil out of one man, and that man jumped on him, beat him all up and sent him running. You don't try to cast out devils without the power of God. Speak with new tongues. Again, I don't think that's speaking in something that somebody can't understand. I think that's being able to talk to people with a foreign language and be able to talk their language without any training. You can't do that on your own. They shall take up serpents and not be harmed. This one thing I'm not even sure I'm going to try it with the Holy Spirit's help. You can try it if you want, but I'm going to run from those serpents. Yeah, thanks, Bill. I'm glad there's one other honest guy in the house. I know Larry will say that. And if you drink any deadly thing, it'll not harm you. Now, none of those things we can do by ourselves. And what Jesus is saying here is, look, when you go, we'll not only be partners in this thing, but you will be able to do things that you cannot do without the Holy Spirit's help. And then finally, turn over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Go ye as a son serving his father, trying to please his father. Go as a witness, telling what you know. Go as a co-worker. Go as one empowered by the Holy Ghost. And then number 5, go with one that has the whole world in his sights. Look at Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. These were the last words that Jesus spoke in his human body. Now, I know he spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus, but this, when he was on earth, this was the last words that he spoke. You go ahead and read verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. But he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, and I want you to start in Jerusalem. Then I want you to go to the area around Jerusalem, Judea. Then I want you to go into Samaria, a little bit further away, in a place where the Jews didn't go. And then I want you to go to the world. But I want you to just clear out a spot and build a church and put up a sign and say, you all come and just take care of the people that come. I want you to go. If he was here tonight, he'd say, I want you to go to Clio. I want you to go to Genesee County. I want you to go to the state of Michigan. I want you to go to the United States of America. I want you to go to the world. I want you to go as a son striving to please his father, as a witness of what you've seen, as a co-worker, as one empowered by the Holy Ghost, as one that has the whole world in its sight. Go, go, go. And I hope tonight, as we've looked at all 5 of them, that the Great Commission has become a little bit less daunting. I mean, when you stop and think that we're in God's ambassadors, and that we've been entrusted with this great message of salvation, it can get a little bit overwhelming sometimes. But if we think about it the way that Jesus told us to think about it, it gives a whole lot more motivation to go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth that's in this book. Thank you for the way you lay it out and you make it simple that we can understand it. And I pray tonight that we would be encouraged as we've looked at the different times that you've told us, that your son told us to go. All the promises that he made along with the command. Yes, we're to go. Yes, it's our duty. Yes, it's our orders. But there sure are a lot of good things that go along with it. And so I pray tonight for every Christian that's here that we'd be more faithful, we'd be bold, we'd be urgent, we'd be all the things that you want us to be. Like Paul said, I become all things to all men so that by all means I can win some. And then, Father, I pray tonight, I don't think there's anybody here, but maybe you know our hearts. Maybe there's somebody here that's never received Christ. They need to feel that forgiveness for themselves. They need to feel your love for themselves. And I pray tonight they could see their sin. They could see the price that Jesus paid for it. And tonight they'd come and receive him. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.